Morning, everyone. How are we this morning? We good? Does anyone else sense something super strong happening today? Anyone else, or is it just me? Yeah, there's something happening today, and I feel like someone is being ministered to. A lot of people are being ministered to this morning, and I just want to share, too, something that I felt like God had placed on my heart during worship, and it was while we were singing. And, you know, we think of something that's good. We think of, like, God being good, and that means, like, he's going to answer every prayer that I have, right? And that's, like, that's that default thought that we fall into. Like, if this is what I'm praying for, God's going to answer it, right? But a true good God, a true loving God, gives us what we actually need, not what we want. And so if you're here today and there's that prayer that you're praying that you don't feel like God is answering, go back to him again and say, Lord, reveal to me what you want to happen in this situation. And don't ask specifically what you want. Ask him to reveal it to you. Amen? Amen. So just wanted to share that with you before we get started. But, you know, we have an exciting time that's going to be coming up. We're coming up on Easter, and you know, we're just really excited about it because it's, again, one of the most amazing things that, or actually it is the most amazing thing that has happened in the history of the world that we get to be a part of, and that we get to have this opportunity to come and to serve God and to worship him on Easter. So we're preparing for it, but we need to prepare our hearts and just get to that point and to know exactly what happened on Easter and what God wants us to do with what we have. And so today it's going to be a special day, and I'm excited about it. And you know what else I'm really excited about? I'm excited that the sun is shining through these windows. Amen. How many other people are excited about the weather right now, right? How many want that weather to stay the way that it is and not go back to that, you know, 30-degree weather or that 20-degree weather with the random snow that just came out of nowhere, right? How many of you are looking toward that summer vacation that maybe you have planned already or that you're looking to plan? How many are looking towards that? You want to get out. You want to get to the sun. You want to go to the beach. You want to hang out by the pool, right? Or what about those picnics that are going to be coming up? Those picnics that we're going to go to, whether it's a graduation party or it's Memorial Day, Labor Day, all those things that we do to come together and to have fun and to really enjoy the weather. And so you're probably counting down the days. You might even have like a countdown on your phone that says like 37 days, 45, you know, minutes and whatever else the numbers are until that point, until you're going to be where you want to be, whether it's that vacation or it's by the pool, but you're counting down the days. But for some of us, that might seem so far away. It might look like it's so far away that it's not going to come anytime soon. Why? Because there's things happening in life, right? There's deadlines at work that have to happen. There's schedules for kids, right? Kids graduating, you got to go through the graduation process, the graduation party, like all those things that you have to plan for, those things that you have to do before you can get to that vacation or before you can get to that specific event that you're waiting for. So it might just seem like it's too far away. You have this hope for it, but you just don't have the focus on it. You're not thinking about it because you know that there's other things in the way that have to happen first. But then that moment comes where there's that shift, where your focus has to turn to it, right? It might be a month before that vacation. It might be a week before that vacation. Or if you're like me, it's the night before that vacation, where you have to start to pack and you have to start to prepare, right? You have to get the make sure that you're checked into your flight, right? Or you have to ensure that you have travel to and from the airport. All of those things that you have to do, you have to be laser focused. You have to be so ready for those things. And ready to do those things and have them in place in order for the thing that you've been waiting for to go off without a hitch. You have to have a focus that is on point when that shift happens. And why? It's because it finally has arrived. That time has come for that event, that vacation, whatever it is, the time has come for you to be able to relax, to enjoy it. But the point is that you're finally getting to that destination. You're finally making it to that point in time that you wanted to get to that destination. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Jesus getting to the destination that he set out for. So the big idea for today, the big idea is this. Jesus had a mission, and he wanted to reach his destination. He knew what it was. He knew exactly what he needed to do, what it was going to take, what it was going to cost. He knew it. He was ready for it, and he obeyed. He knew that it wasn't always going to be easy. He knew that hard things were going to come, but he knew he needed to obey. And because of the way that he obeyed God, because of the things that he did, he brought glory to God's name. And that's what we're entrusted with. We're entrusted with that same thing. But this same mission. We have to carry on the same mission. We have a destination that we want to reach as well. And we've all made a commitment to follow Jesus. We've all made that commitment to say, Lord, you're the leader of my life. You're the forgiver of my past. I'm following you. I want to do the things that you have for me, right? We've made that commitment. We do our best to obey. We do it to the best of our ability to read the words that God has for us and to follow them, to put them into action, to do the way that he's called us to do life. We do it as best as we can, but unfortunately, there's times where we're disobedient. We strive to bring glory to God. Everyone wants to bring glory to God. Everyone wants God to say, I'm pleased with you, right? As humans, we look to try to please people. Whether it's good or bad, we try to please people, and it's not a bad thing to please God, to do the things that he wants, but unfortunately, there's times that we fall short. There's times that we don't please God. We don't bring glory to his name. We might do the opposite, right? People might say, they say they're a Christian, but they don't really act like it, right? They say that they do this, but they don't actually. Right? And so sometimes we fall short, but we try our best. Things are tough. Things are hard. Distractions happen. We lose focus. But does that mean that we should give up? Does that mean that we stop chasing or moving forward to that destination that we're supposed to get to? No, that's not what it means. We don't give up. That's not who God made us to be. That's not what God wants for our life. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to continue on. But the thing is that we can learn a lot from Jesus in the stories of the Bible. And we can learn a lot, and we want to be more like Jesus. So we want to be more like Jesus. And today we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 51. So if you want to turn there, you can in your Bible. But we're going to look at it, and we're going to learn from Jesus of just how he spent his time on earth. And we're going to learn from the things that he said, the things that he did. And it should help and change the way that we live our life. It's going to change. If we're truly listening to the words that are on the page, our life should look different after today. Amen? So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to worship you in this place, Lord God, to give you the praise and the honor that you deserve this morning, Lord God. And Lord, help us to just see the words that you have for us today, Lord God, and to just absorb them into our life, Lord. But then, Lord God, we hope and pray, Lord God, that we would put them into action, Lord God, that our life would be different from seeing the things that you have for us, Lord God, and help us to be more like Jesus, your son, Jesus, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So as you turn to chapter 9 of Luke, starting in verse 51, just want to give you a little context of some things that are happening in the Bible leading up to this passage. And, you know, Jesus is full ministry right now, right? He's in his full ministry. He's performing a lot of miracles. He was healing people, casting out demons in people, just right before this, Peter had declared Jesus as the Messiah. When Jesus asked, who do the people say that I am? And Peter responded and said that you are the Messiah. This is what's happening. And then the transfiguration of Jesus happened. And this was a huge moment, a very big moment in the New Testament when Jesus's appearance had changed. He was shining with the divine glory on the mountain when he was with Peter, James, and John. And it signified Jesus's divine nature. It confirmed that he was the Son of God, right? It linked the old covenant to the new covenant that was coming, and it also offers a glimpse into his resurrection glory. So there was a lot of big things, a lot of big things building up to this time that we're going to take a look at in Luke chapter 9. So a lot of things are happening, and this is really a big shift in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at a time where there's this big shift, just like when we have that big shift when that vacation comes, where we really need to focus in on it, where we really need to be like dialed in. That same shift, that's what we're looking at here today. And so let's take a look at verse 51, and it says, "As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, 'Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village." And so it starts out where it says, as the time drew near. And so that means that something's coming. Something is happening. Something is coming very quickly. And then it says that the time for Jesus to ascend to heaven. Jesus's time on earth was coming to an end. And Jesus knew that. He knew that there was an urgency because he knew that he didn't have much time. He didn't have a lot of time remaining with the disciples, and they needed to understand who he was and what he wanted to see them do after he left. So he knew that time was so much of the essence. And the ascension of Jesus is so important for us as we look at it. It's the completion of his earthly ministry. It's the completion of his time here on earth that then he is exalted as the Son of God that sits at the right hand of God the Father. Amen? But Jesus becomes our heavenly intercessor at that point as well. And it also allows for the sending of the Holy Spirit. It allowed for the sending of the Holy Spirit to come down to be that guide that he promised us that would happen. So then it says that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And when you look up that word, it's talking about being firm. It's talking about, you know, not unwavering, right? Unwavering. So Jesus was firm in his purpose. He knew what he had to do. He knew exactly what he needed to do. But he also knew that he wasn't going to just be able to do it easy, right? He knew what was coming ahead. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be handed over. He knew that he was going to be put on trial and then wrongfully accused. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew that he was going to be tortured. And then he knew that he was going to be killed. How could someone, knowing all those things, possibly desire to continue on doing what he was doing? How? Like, we can't compute that. If we were put in this position and we knew that these were the things that were going to happen to us, how could we continue on knowing that? But Jesus did. Why? Because his focus was unwavering. His focus was on the destination. His focus was on his mission. There were problems. There were situations. All of these things were happening around him that he very easily could have been able to just get caught up in these problems. But he didn't allow it. He focused harder and harder on the mission. He set out for Jerusalem. He knew Jerusalem was where he needed to be. He knew that that was a part of the story that God had. So he knew that he needed to get there. Jerusalem was the destination. His focus was on the mission. He was so focused on the mission and not focused on the problems. But the question I have for you today is this. Are you focused on the mission that God has called you to? Or are you focused on your problems? And what I mean by that is when things happen in life, do you allow yourself to fall into that problem and get distracted, whatever it is? You know, say you have something that you need to do. To do at work, but you know it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, so what do? You go do some other task to take, because you don't want to deal with that problem, you don't want to deal with that issue, and you get distracted and you lose focus on what you have to do within your job. But do we do that same thing? the problems in life, do we allow those problems to then take our focus on the mission that God has called us to do? Think about that. It's a rhetorical question. I don't want the answer, but just think about it. If we focus on our problems, we're going to lack progress. We're not going to see growth. We're not going to see fruit in our life if we're so focused on the problems. When those things happen in life, those things that we know, Jesus said that our life is going to be difficult, that it's not going to be easy. So why do we spend so much time on the problems and not focus on the answered prayers, the promises that we've seen Jesus provide to us? Why don't we focus on that? Instead, we focus on the problems. But God's so good that we do not need to do that. We do not need to focus on the problems because it opens ourselves up to distraction. It opens us up to being taken off of the course. When we seek distraction, right? Like when we want to hang out in our phone, or we want to be on the computer, or we want to just be on the TV or whatever. When those types of distractions, when we seek that, we're getting away from the things that God has called us to. But if we want to live like Jesus, if we want to be just like him, we have to have that focus on the mission. It needs to be that same focus that Jesus had, that he was so focused on what he was doing that, you know, it says that when they went into the village, right, there was this opposition. The Samaritans didn't like Jews. They weren't best friends, right? There was a lot of adversity there. They didn't like each other. So it was known that there should be opposition there. But then what did James and John say? They saw this. They saw how they were treating Jesus, you know, because Jesus was their boy, right? You know, Jesus was like, you know, walking through the town and they're seeing the mistreatment, you know, as boys, like with a Z, not with an S. If you're boys with someone, right, like you want to stand up. It's like, come on, let's go roll on them. Like that's how I used to talk whenever I, like, what, didn't know Jesus? Like, let's go, right? And so they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Because they felt like that was something that they could do. But the funny thing is, the ironic thing is, that they weren't able to cast out the demon a few scriptures ago, but now they want to bring fire down on them. So that's just ironic. That's not part of the message. I just wanted to bring that up. But so they thought that they could do this. They wanted to destroy these people. But who were these people? People that are far from God. People that needed Jesus. People that needed the disciples to love and to care for them, but they wanted to destroy them. They weren't seeing the way Jesus saw. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked them. He just turned and looked at them and was like, what? Like why would we do that? We're supposed to be here to speak to them, to speak life into them, to help change their life, to change the way that they think, to see Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior. That's what they were called to do, but they wanted to destroy them. Why? Because they were focused on the problem. They were focused on the mistreatment, not on the mission that God had for them. They weren't focused on what God had for them. They allowed the distraction to take them away from what they were supposed to do. We're going to face opposition in our life. We know that. Whether it's going to be people, whether it's circumstance, whether it's for what we believe or the way that we live our lives, whatever it is, we're going to face opposition. But how do we respond? Do we stand up against the opposition to prove our point, to show that we're right, that we're smarter, that we're better? Is that how we're going to respond to the opposition? Do we want to be called sons of thunder like James and John, the way that they came in and just wanted to take care of it and bring the fire down and destroy them? Is that how we're going to respond? Or are we going to rebuke the thoughts? Are we going to rebuke the actions that we want to take? And we're going to keep the focus that Jesus had and to keep the focus on the mission. It's really like, just deflect it. That problem, that thing, just deflect it and move on. Because when we allow ourselves to mess around with it and to hang out with it, and we're not going to the destination. We're not moving to where we need to, right? Because we're so worried about this. Just deflect it. I'm here now, right? So don't allow the distractions to take us from the place that we're called to be. So if we want to be more like Jesus, We have to have his focus. We have to have his focus. So let's move on. Let's take a look into verse 57. And it says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So when I read this, you know, the image that I get in my head is that Jesus is like swiftly walking with his face like just straight ahead, eyes not going anywhere, just straight ahead, right? Like he's just on a mission. Like you see in the movies, like those action movies when they're like, you know, everything's blowing up around them and they're just like this, you know, like just going for it. Like that's what I see. That's how I see. And it's not like he's trying to be rude. It's not like he doesn't want them to talk to him or anything like that. Like he just knows that he has a mission, that he knows that there's somewhere to go, right? And so when that person says that to him, right, and brings it up, in my mind, I'm not saying that this is what the scripture says, but in my mind, I just see it as like he just keeps trucking along. He just keeps moving, and he just doesn't really pay much attention to it because he knows that he needs to move forward. He needs to keep going. But what do we learn from this person, right? He said, I will follow you wherever you go. That was what he communicated to Jesus. But really, the person didn't know what that really meant, what it meant to follow Jesus. Didn't ask questions, didn't know what it was going to take to follow Jesus, didn't count the cost. And it reminds me of a time I was in college, I was home for the summer, and I was like trying to work, you know, get as much money as I could for the summer so that I could go back to college. And my dad had a friend that was like in the construction arena, and he had another buddy that was doing a job in Sewickley Heights and basically needed a laborer. And so I was like, well, you know, it seems like it's construction related, and you know, I can be a laborer. He just has to tell me what to do, you know, nothing hard there. And then you know, all I really needed to hear was that it was in Sewickley Heights, so I knew I was going to get paid pretty well. So I was like, yeah, I'm in, let's do it, right? And so I didn't ask any questions, and I show up, I pull up to this house in Sewickley Heights, and it's like, you know, this beautiful state, super long driveway. It's an amazing stone home that I pull up to, and, you know, massive property, and the landscaping is just impeccable. And I meet the guy that I was going to work for. I didn't know him at all. So he tells me, like, what we're going to do. And the job was that we were going to build a deer fence around the entire backyard. And so, again, this house was really nice. They had a really great garden. And they were having a party that was coming up, and they didn't want deer to get into the yard and then eat all of the, like, flowers and to just basically ruin all of the landscaping. And so I spent an entire 8 hours just digging post holes and, you know, carrying rolls of, like, 6-foot-tall fence and, you know, setting the post, putting the concrete in, then stapling the fence to the wood post and all that, all inside of the heat and the humidity of a Pittsburgh summer, right? Not really how I wanted to spend the day. Didn't really think that that's what it was going to be. And to be honest with you, the money wasn't even worth it. But the point in that is that I got myself involved in something that I didn't ask the questions. I didn't know what it was going to take. I didn't know what it was going to cost me. I just got caught up in the, oh, I bet I can make a good bit of money here. I got caught up in that and didn't ask the question, didn't know what I was really signing up for. So that was actually the only day that I did that. But Jesus knew that there was a cost. Jesus knew that. But he also knew that we needed to, that guy needed to follow Jesus for the right reason, not for the wrong reason, right? Because it could be looked at to follow Jesus, everything would be awesome, it'd be great, we get to follow him. But what is the real reason to follow him? To be a disciple and to make disciples, right? That's the real reason. So we need to make sure that we're following for the right reason. So then in verse 59, it says, he said to another person, come, follow me. Jesus is saying that. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first, let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus said, let the spiritually dead bury their own. Your duty is to go and to preach the kingdom of God. In these verses, Jesus asked the man to follow him, different from the person before. But the guy wanted to return home and to bury his father first. And Bible scholars suggest that the man's father wasn't actually deceased at this point in time, but really what he was communicating is that, like, he wanted to be able to stay home with his father. His father was up in age. He wanted to be able to care for his father until the time that his father would pass. And then he would come and follow Jesus. But what Jesus is communicating here is that following Jesus is important, and that it's more important than family matters. We can't put ourselves in a position where we allow our priorities to change and Jesus is no longer the most important thing in our life. Sometimes we have to be able to make that decision that Jesus is going to be more important than this thing that's happening in life, that this thing that we're working towards, that it's my focus is not going to be pulled off of this because of this distraction. It's not going to be able to be pulled away because of this family thing, but I'm going to be so focused on what he has for me. And so Jesus was being honest. He wasn't upset if the person decided, hey, I'm not going to follow him. He wasn't upset about that, but he wanted to be clear what exactly it meant to be on mission, to be on this mission that Jesus had. He wanted to be so clear so that when we seek and save the lost, that is our first priority. That is the first priority that we should have. So as followers of Jesus, another question that, again, I'm not asking for the answer, but I want you to think about it. As followers of Jesus, what do our priorities look like? Is Jesus first in our life? Or do we just fit him in whenever we have time? Do we wake up in the morning and we're so excited to have that time with him? Or do we wait until after the coffee's made, you see what the weather's gonna be like on the news, and then you have 10 minutes before you have to hop in the shower so you listen to the verse of the day on the Bible app? What do our priorities as followers of Jesus look like? So the scripture continues in verse 61 and says, another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And after I read that one, I was just like, wow, Jesus is a jerk, right? Like, man, like, why is he acting like this, right? So, man, that's crazy that he just says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. But when I look at it and I say, he's teaching us something. He wants to speak something. This person said they wanted to follow Jesus, but they first needed to go home and they needed to say, you know, goodbye to their family. And so this person was saying, hey, I'm committed to you, but let me do this first. But here's the thing that Jesus is communicating when he's talking about when we put our hand to the plow, right? Let's equate it to this. When we're driving down the road and we reach back into the back seat of the car, right? We're trying to grab that thing. We're trying to do whatever. Chances are, a lot of the times, when you look back, you're off to the right side of the road. Why? Because your whole body is turning like that. I know there's moms in the room that are like, yep. All the time, right? You're reaching back, trying to get the bottle that fell out of the car seat, right, and hand it back to the baby. All those things. You're like, yep, that happens. Because when we lose our focus, when we lose the, and we turn and we look away, we get off track. Our line moves. And when it's talking about when we put our hand to a plow, like what a farmer does, when they would plow, they would look at a tree. Like out into the field, they would look at that tree, just like I do in golf, and then I hit it that way. But they would look at the tree, and they would say, this is where I'm going, and they would push that plow to that tree. And they would stay on track. But if they were to turn back and to see something behind them or to look another way, they might be looking at that tree. And now they're aiming at that tree, and the line is crooked. Because they looked back. They weren't fully committed. Jesus knew that if he wasn't fully committed, if he wasn't willing to serve him right now in this very moment, that he wasn't truly committed. We don't want to lose that line of sight. We don't want to lose the line that we have that God has called us to live. So when we follow Jesus, we have to do it with all of our strength. with everything inside of us. And we always have to look forward. Stop looking back. Stop looking back, because all it's going to do is to take you off of your line. Look forward. Move forward with all of the strength that we have. So, what do we learn from these three people in these six verses? A lot to learn in just six verses. That's why it's so good to read the Bible. Amen? But this is what we learn from these three people. To be more like Jesus, we need to have his commitment. The commitment level that he has, we need to have that as well. So we must be committed to the mission. We must be committed to being disciples and making disciples, committed to honoring and pleasing God, and committed to making Jesus our top priority. That's what it means to be committed like Jesus, to be on the mission, being a disciple but making a disciple, honoring and pleasing God. And Jesus is our top priority. If we do that, if we're committed to that, we're going to look more like Jesus. Sounds easy, right? I'll let you guys answer that. All right, let's move on. So then we switch into Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send some more workers into the fields." And this scripture makes me think of a farmer's market. How many farmer's market lovers do we have out there? Right? Love a good farmer's market. And just think about it. You show up into this farmer's market, and whether it's in a parking lot, whether it's in a field, whether it's in an event space, whatever it is, you show up and you're just in the middle of this thing. And you look around and you can see maybe a dozen, two dozen vendor tables that are up. And then there might be like one or two people that are at each table, right, to help you to buy the fruits and the vegetables, okay? And then if you think about it, they have their sign that says like Schrute's Farm or something like that on there. And you know that it's going to take at least like 5 to 10 people to man that farm. So there's workers there. But when you look at the table, there's dozens of tomatoes. There's pounds and pounds and pounds of potatoes. There's bushel baskets filled with peaches. There's other baskets filled with beans and green beans and strawberries and all of this stuff. All of this stuff that is on this table was produced by that farm, right? And it was all through a harvest that these workers helped to bring. But for the amount of fruit that came from that farm is amazing. There's hundreds of pieces of fruit and vegetables that came from that farm from maybe 10 people. It took all of them in order for that harvest to happen. It was a great harvest because they were able to do the work, that they were able to take the responsibility that they had as a farmer and as a worker on that farm to see this great harvest. But here's the thing. That farmer probably owns land that isn't being farmed, that there could be more plants, that there could be more fields filled, but he doesn't have the workers. He doesn't have the ability to do that. Because of the lack of workers. We are the workers in God's kingdom. We are called to have this great harvest. We are called to have this same responsibility. Because when we think about just the operation of a farm, each and every worker probably was assigned, whether it was a specific field or a section of a field, whether it was a specific vegetable or fruit, whatever it was, they had a responsibility to look after, to care, and to then pick and harvest those at the right time. There was a responsibility. So when you pick up those tomatoes or those whatever, and you put it in your bag to take home, that person was responsible for that fruit. We have a responsibility each and every one of you. It's not Pastor Ben, it's not the evangelists in the room that have the responsibility to see this great harvest, to bring people to a relationship with the Lord. It's each and every one of you. You each have a responsibility. You each are going to have fruit that comes from it. Allow yourself to believe that and to think that, because we discount ourselves all the time that says, I can't bring someone to Christ. I can't bring this good news to someone. I won't be able to help this person have this relationship with the Lord. Yes, you can. Why? Because it's your responsibility. It's what God has called us to do. Amen. So you have that ability. You're going to be responsible for people coming to know the Lord. How exciting is that? That each and every one of you have it, whether it's a dozen or two dozen or it's hundreds, whatever it is, you have that responsibility. That's exciting. That's exciting that we get to carry that. That this mission that Jesus set out on over 2,000 years ago, it's still happening now. His mission is still happening. There's fads and there's trends that we see all the time on TikTok and Facebook and all that other stuff. The things that people think are cool and exciting and fun here in America and all over the world. All these cool things. But what happens? 7 years from now, we won't even remember that fad. We won't even remember that trend. Or if it's like clothing, it'll come back in 20 years or something. But the point is that it's temporary. This mission that we're on, this thing that we're doing for Jesus, is everlasting. It's eternal. It's never going to end because it's the truth. It's real. It's life-giving. That's the mission that we're on. That's what we get to be a part of. And we have a responsibility in it. And here's the thing. We're going to see a great harvest. When we put ourselves in that position to be the workers, we're going to see a great harvest. So how do we see this? Jesus says in the scripture, it says to ask the Lord to send workers. We need to pray. So on the seats by you guys, there's a card and it says, I'm praying for, and then it's a big blank spot, to join us this Easter, right? So we're gonna write names on here. We're gonna write names on here that we want people to see here on a Sunday morning, here for Easter, and we wanna pray for them. Let's be the workers. Let's be the workers and pray over this harvest. And we've already started doing this. We've already started this process. If you look in the back, Pastor Ben standing by the wall that has these cards already on it, with names already on it, because we want to be specific and we want to be intentional, because this is important. It does matter. We want to see a harvest, right? We want this. We want the scriptures to come to life. That's why we read them. That's why we do the things that we do, because we want the scriptures to come to life. So right now, let's all stand. Let's all stand. And we're going to turn and we're going to look at that board in the back on the wall. And each and every name that's already represented and the ones that are going to be added to, we're going to pray over them. And Pastor Ben's going to lead us in a prayer over these people and over Easter and just us being workers to see a great harvest. So go ahead, Pastor Ben.